Call us to order at 4:35.
Welcome today to the shack, and Dr. Allen's going to talk to us for just a minute.
How's everybody doing? I'm going to be much more brief this time than I was last time. And I'm going to go to the high school. We're doing a dyslexia awareness night. I'm going to go catch some of that for a minute. A couple things I'm going to touch on very briefly. You might have seen an email that went to everybody who has a district email account, as well as a Facebook post today, that was really the district's way of communicating to folks that we have had some recent experiences which cause us to continue to have concern with the use of prohibited substances. We talked about that last time. There's no new information, but we do continue to have students making some poor choices. And our response to that is going to be actually to drug test more and have the dogs in the building more. And that message was really essentially a way of helping parents know that that's what's coming, so that they've not already done so, they'd be encouraged to communicate with their kiddos. And if they have neighbors and friends that they feel like it would be a good use of their time to let them know about the district's approach to all of this, that they won't be caught completely off guard. So we actually had the dog at the middle school Tuesday and didn't find anything, which means either the kids didn't have anything or the dog had a cold. So, but that was encouraging compared to some of the stuff that we've been sort of managing lately. So we feel pretty good about that. There is also an email that's going to come out. Are you going to talk about the Halloween email?
You can. These are the four emails.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about all this.
You can talk about the Halloween email, not the other.
Okay. There's also going to be an email coming out soon-ish. Probably tomorrow. What's today? Today, Wednesday? Before the end of the week. And what it's going to basically say is, please consider the following. And I got a little list of things I want people to do. And one is check your kids' candy before they eat it. Make sure it's properly wrapped, properly sealed, and all that good stuff. I'm discouraging people from taking homemade goods from anybody unless they know who that person is and they know how the kiddo got it. When I was younger, every now and then, you'd go to the house and the person would hand out the homemade candy apples, and we ate those and thought it was great. I might discourage that this year. Don't laugh. I've encouraged people to go with their children when they trick-or-treat. That's okay. With the littles, it will, but there'll be a lot of 13-year-olds. That's all right. It's hard to monitor the candy if you're not kind of on top of it. I'm still at least trying to encourage people to do that. And then I'm encouraging people to go to trunk-or-treats with cities, churches, schools, where you might have a little more trust in individuals who are distributing those candies. And so I don't want to scare the heck out of everybody. I just want to give some people some ideas. Like, if you're a parent, you're concerned about this. Many of you have got kiddos that you've had for years, in theory, and you know what your routines are, you know what you go, and you're very comfortable and you feel good about it. Do that. I'm not trying to steal Halloween. But if you are a parent, you've got young kids, and you're kind of nervous about what's going on in the world right now, I'm just trying to give people some hints or ideas about some ways to maybe think about how to come at this. And then I'm going to get y'all to fill in the gaps on this, but we have right now on the books November 7th as what, and we're still programming this, but it's going to be basically a panel discussion to which we invite our community to come have a broader discussion about the dangers of substance abuse and what we're seeing now that's different from when they were kids, okay? Frankly, what we're seeing now that's different from what we were seeing 2 and 3 years ago, to be horribly blunt. And on that panel, what we're envisioning is local doctors, law enforcement. Mr. Mumal has put us on to someone who has good information they might share on this. And some other folks who can speak to this from different angles, to give people a greater sense for what it is that's going on with these prohibited substances now than what we might have seen before. I don't think everyone knows, as a matter of fact, I'm sure not everyone knows, that for every student that we drug test that tests positive for nicotine, 50% of the time they're also positive for marijuana. Okay? And there are a lot of people think, well, nicotine's kind of harmless, why do y'all get so bent out about that? One, it kills you like every other drug. But two, it is kind of a gateway thing now, and it didn't used to be thought of that way, but because of the intense amount of nicotine in vapes, it's the introduction to that addictive behavior, addictive substance mentality, and so this is part of the reason we work on those things. And so anyway, just try and bring people in the loop on that a little bit and help them have a deeper understanding of what we're seeing and why we're taking some of the action we're taking. So I swear, I talk about things around here other than drugs. But it tends to be the thing that I talk to y'all the most about because it intersects with what's going on in Shaq. So, anything else, Yarda, that I said I was going to talk about?
No, sir. November 7th is from 6 to 7 p.m.
Thank you. And there's a high school choir concert right after. So by kind of doing that, we're hoping to maybe get some. We're going to the concert anyway. Maybe we'll go learn something about what's going on. We're going to do it in the Commons. I don't think we'll overflow it. So,
is there a way to? Will that be something that will be videoed and be put on the website where people can get to it if they don't?
Yeah, I was talking to you about that earlier. What we would do is we would record that and then throw it on Facebook the day after. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Yard, that's all I got.
Okay.
Any questions? Are we good?
Fill in the gaps, Yard.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Okay, thank y'all.
So you should have received the district communication. It's called prohibited substance awareness. And so that's what he was referring to just a little bit ago. And within that, then he does talk about the purpose of the drug testing program and having the drug talks on campus, which is for us in order to deter inappropriate behavior, but then also to provide counseling for students who may need counseling. And so there are different types of, I guess the word is consequence, but not really, I don't know, or if a drug dog ends up, if we end up finding things through drug dog versus drug testing, there's two different approaches to how those situations are handled. And so within the email also, there is a sentence here, I mean a paragraph if you've not read it, that he says the Marble Falls ISD vision statement insists that we will have an unyielding commitment to our students. Our commitment is preventing and ridding our schools of any prohibited substances is rooted in this ambition. Finally, I would like to ask you to partner with one another in an effort to eliminate the presence of bad actors within our community. When speaking with students and parents, I've been told shops, stations, dispensaries, and businesses are selling and distributing illegal drugs. There are reports of retailers who sell vapes and alcohol to underage consumers with no attempt to verify the age of the young people purchasing these products. I'm working with local law enforcement to share the information of which I've been made aware. And so this issue is too serious to allow it to devolve into the wasted energy and unproductivity of blame, finger pointing, and callousness. Instead, we need to expect the best of our students, neighbors, schools, businesses, and community. If you see something, say something. Anonymous tips can be reported to reports@stayalert.com. And so there is a link to Stay Alert on our district website. Where kids or adults, anyone can report anonymously. And so I will say, even in some of our most recent, you know, we do the drug testing and there is the urine sample. And recently there have been some new ways in which it has been found, which I'm sure, which it looks like have existed with different things with adults for a long time, but on how to pass a drug test. And so not just gathering somebody else's pee to do when you're having to do the drug test, actually, you know, holding someone else, like there was a belt with urine in it. Supposedly there is a shop within Marble Falls that sells powdered urine that you mix in a water bottle and then it will give you a clean urine test. That in addition to the vapes to underage kids and several other things are things that we're just seeing more and more instances of. And like you said, right now there's a 50% new test for nicotine, new testing. 50% of those are also testing for marijuana. The other district communications, one was around school resource officers. And so I don't know if everybody, there was a press release that went out on that. And it talked about that we now have approved agreements with the city of Marble Falls and Granite Shoals. They are working on an agreement, by the way, for Alden Spicewood to provide school resource officers for every campus. In no way is this like we want law enforcement in every campus to catch that. That's not what it is. This is to build community, to build a sense of community, to build a sense of safety across our schools. Gives us more Marble Falls police officers across our schools, and then the city of Granite Shoals working out. And then, like I said, continued discussions also for Spicewood. And there are MOUs that are being generated for that also at this time. The last one was the one we talked about before, the Please Talk to Your Student. And so the Please Talk to Your Student was in regards to the talks that happened at the elementary school. And so so I'll give you an update on that in just a second. I was gonna bring up my computer, kind of read a couple things for you on that, how the talks went at the elementary schools. Do y'all have any questions around these? Okay, so you should see the Halloween one soon. We did talk to the students when the counselors went in the rooms about not taking candy that's already open and things like that, and they'll talk about it again. We've also locked down our trunk or treats to where we control the candy at the trunk or treats. We're still taking donated candy, but we control what candy was donated or what other things were donated through the trunk or treats. There are several trunk or treats that the different elementary schools participated in. Today's agenda, so I'm going to talk to you about a couple things in here. We're first going to go through a couple updates, and then we're going to go through the board resolution. We're going to split into subcommittees. I'm going to talk to you about the process for reviewing materials. And then you're going to be in subcommittees for a little bit. We'll see how much time there is kind of for you to be able to report out, and then we'll adjourn. I plan for us to try to be done at 5:30, right at 5:30 on the dot. You should have chosen a subcommittee last time or given me a top choice for a subcommittee. I'm not going to call all your names out. What I'm going to do today when we go to split is I'm going to say, here's the subcommittee for this over here, and it's okay if you didn't write it on your number one and you want to change your committee, just go to the new place where you want to go. It did give me an idea. The majority of everybody that's in this room, just so you know, chose as a number one choice child abuse, the one that had child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. With the second most popular being the one that had risky behaviors, suicide risk, behavioral health, and mental health education. And then we did have several people as their first choice choose the one that was all under substance abuse. Just for your information. I need to bring something up on my computer in a second. I don't believe we had anybody here that was from outside of this committee for public comment. Correct? I don't see anybody here. I did not have it queued up ahead of time, but I have to okay. Hi, Mr. Hoover. Do you have something you want to talk to them about?
No, ma'am.
You're just joining us?
Okay. Saying hi.
Okay, you're good. So an update. Opioid and antagonist medication in schools. That would be the brand name Narcan. And so you would have heard if you listened to the board meeting the other night that I said the word opioid antagonist a number of times. We do have our standing orders to have Narcan. Our standing orders came from Dr. Thomas here at Marble Falls. She also does our standing orders for our epinephrine. And so we kept that consistent for her to do our standing orders for Narcan. We receive doses of Narcan from Bluebonnet Trails that we have distributed across the campuses. And what we had to do Monday night is we had to revise our board policy. The reason why we have to revise, we can still administer Narcan without the revision to board policy, but for our board policies to be clean and for all the district procedures to be nice and neat, we needed to basically revise our local board policy to include under the section where it's called unassigned medication, where it has epinephrine, that then we also included Narcan. And I would say, maybe a couple of you in here could say it, the generic name, the Naxalone, thank you, Naloxone, look at that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I keep saying it wrong every time. That's why I keep saying the brand name Narcan. So it has it in there, and it basically states that we will follow standing orders that we have for that. Our standing orders do designate that the registered nurse on campus or another trained employee can administer it. We are putting a dose of it where in our breakaway boxes that have EpiPen. And so it's not that it's locked up behind a closed door, because that would not do us any good in an emergency situation. In addition, EMS and other emergency services are able to access our Narcan. They don't fall under our standing orders, though. They actually fall under their own standing orders for administering, but they can use ours if there was some sort of emergency. We have 8 doses at Marble Falls High School, 8 doses at the middle school, 4 doses out at Spicewood due to location kind of being out there, 4 doses at Highland Lakes, Marble Falls Elementary, and 6 doses here at Falls and Epic. So that's where all of our doses. We can easily get more through Bluebonnet Trails. So just for an update, most school districts have 3 types of unassigned medication in their within their school nurses. The first would be epinephrine, so the EpiPens. And there is a program for EpiPens for school, how we get funded. We do normally have to purchase our EpiPens for athletics, and that's substantial, and it looks like that we need to place an order now, and it normally costs us about $600 to get the ones for athletics. They don't fall under the traditional EpiPen for school. On this, with Narcan, Bluebonnet Trails provided for us. They're willing to continue to provide us Narcan. Our Narcan doesn't go out of date until 2024, so we're good for a little while. The EpiPens expire a little bit more frequently. I think it's yearly. Yearly? Okay. The third type of unassigned medication that we'll talk to you about probably later in the year would be unassigned asthma inhalers. And originally, we had talked about bringing that to you all to just fill you in, and we were going to try to move forward on having those in our nurse clinic. There is a ton of red tape on that one. And so our goal is to try to see if we would like to have that in clinics for 23-24. But those are the 3 main that school districts have. Not everybody has unassigned asthma inhalers. Just so you know, our rescue inhalers. Not everybody has that. It's interesting to see who does or who doesn't. There's not really a schools for free program for that. It does cost quite a bit. Once you use the inhaler, of course, then you know it really belongs to that student or to that situation. There's a lot of discussion around that, around can EMS get there in time, whereas with Narcan and EpiPen, EMS might not be able to get there in time. And so a lot of back and forth. And the school nurses have some more research they'd like to do on that, and then you'll hear an update on that soon. So as far as the Narcan being in our schools, that's where it's at. The nurses went through training on Monday. They requested that we order 1 thing for them, but they can still, it's a nasal spray. I forgot, a couple people would ask me if it was a shot. This is a nasal spray. It's a nasal spray. And the only thing they requested is that it talks about that for it to be even more highly effective for that there's this mask. And so they requested for that to be purchased. I think most all clinics have it, and there's only 3. Is that right, Amber? Is it mask, right? On the Narcan? I'll double check.
Yeah.
So we're all set, and we have our board policy in place, even though we could have given it out even without it. So do y'all have any questions around that?
So do they all have AMBU bags? Because
that's what it was. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what it was. 3 of the 6 clinics, well, we have Narcan here too. 3 of the 7 places do. The others do not. And we have those that we're placing in order for.
Okay.
That's what it is. I knew if somebody said it, I couldn't have a bag. I apologize. I am an educator, not a health professional, even though I have gotten my crash course through COVID.
So it's to provide ventilation to the patient. So
thank you. Yes, that is what we. As soon as you said it, I knew exactly that's what it was. We will identify the other trained personnel within the schools and who will be able to administer. Right now, the RNs are trained to be able to administer. So. Update on human sexuality curriculum planning. So elementary PE teachers met with a couple of the nurses. Remember, we have a lot of new nurses, so the elementary PE teachers met with Selena Crawford and Donna Forrest, who had both been elementary nurses for a while, on Monday, as well as all of the elementary counselors, because pretty much everything we have on the agenda today involves those groups. They met on Monday to start to look at the actual, remember we said we would still have the kids separated by girl and boy, that we have to send out the permission slips so many weeks in advance. We also talked about that we wanted the lesson scripted. We had approved Quaver as the instructional resource, and so they started to dig in and really get a new plan. They're going to meet again on November 8th to do additional planning and scripting. That will be all the elementary PE teachers with the elementary counselors. And then we'll try to get those 2 nurses to come back over again. What has been decided right now is that for most likely the 2 weeks before spring break, here's the thing, we can't split the human sexuality lessons for elementary. We can't split that across the whole spring. admissions work, how all that happens. So right now for elementary, what the decision was the 2 weeks before spring break is when basically the human sexuality unit will be done, and therefore we'll send the parent permissions so many weeks in advance. And then we will construct, we'll have some of the parallel lessons like we talked about in here, and we're working on, they're gonna work further then on November 8th on how to split everybody up. I know that the middle school teachers also met on Monday, and they're still planning, and there's still more to do. Like after, for instance, on these elementary guys, after they meet November 8th, they're still gonna wanna do another meeting before the fall ends, then they're gonna meet in January, probably twice, and then another time in February. And so
we're gonna specifically meet on the January PD day, the level up teachers and middle school PE teachers, to plan the middle school curriculum for the students for later in the spring semester, towards the end of the school year.
So the elementary lesson will be taught by the PE coaches?
No. The elementary, it's gonna be, so here it's gonna be shared responsibility. And so the fourth grade standard for human sexuality is very similar to what we've always done in fifth grade, the fifth grade talk, I guess, in a way. It's human growth and development. And so basically talk about puberty and the menstrual cycle. Puberty in boys and girls and menstrual cycle. That's the fourth grade standard. And so that will be shared between the nurse and, which I have not told all the nurses, but the nurse and the PE teachers. And so they're working on how that would look. Fifth grade, there are three main overarching standards. And so one of them is I'm not using the correct strand start, but basically the one is the healthy relationships, which talks about remember, all kids get healthy relationships in regards to friends and everything. This is healthy relationships within the paradigm of a romantic relationship, okay? On trust, kindness, and then recognizing if it's not a healthy relationship. That part will be the counselor with the PE teacher. Then there's a whole section of the fifth grade standards that's all around recognizing sexual abuse, sex trafficking, sexual harassment. That will be done with the counselor and the PE teacher. However, the extension then of the fifth grade standard that's more than just puberty, it gives like a such as body hair, and we'll talk about that in fourth grade too. But so it has the puberty, then it has the menstrual cycle, but then the additional two, which is the reproductive system, and then the critical stages of pregnancy, which it does not tell us, so we identify and script out, that will be done with the nurse and the PE teacher. So PE teacher is involved through all, but that one part though is like the nurse is leading with the PE teacher, and that other part the counselor is leading, and then the PE teacher is there. And so they're talking about then how do they do the separate groups, how that can look for those 2 weeks. They're coming up with their recommendations on how to adjust schedules or different things. And so that's what they work on. So we broke up those standards in that way because, I mean, just to be in all honesty, like two of those things are really more counselor responsibility than they are nurse responsibility. And then the one is really the nurse is the expert. So we have the counselor's the expert, the nurse expert when it comes to the fifth grade. Really the fourth grade, it's mainly the nurse that's expert. So the counselor's still in the perimeter being involved, but the actual teacher of the content is the nurse with the PE teacher.
Because the PE teacher has to meet the TEKS, or teach the
TEKS. And these are the TEKS, yes, exactly right, yes. So that's where then there's some overlay in the new board resolution that we'll start working on. And so the new board resolution, if you heard me a second ago, so last year we adopted we supported the recommendation of the teaching staff in regards to using Quaver for health. And Quaver and we specifically focused on human sexuality. When we were talking about, we approved Quaver for the human sexual as the human sexuality instructional materials that we would use with our students. The new board resolution has child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. Well, the majority of all those are in the K through 8 health TEKS. And so what we'll have to have a discussion of then is, are we going to use Quaver for those things too, or are we going to use something else to cover those things too? So we're really just getting in the PE teacher's mode. Like, we're getting into all their business right here, because you know, they've always done certain things as far as with teaching, but then we have now these new four things that were pulled out that we'll talk about. So on November 8th, it's going to be the PE teachers and the elementary counselors, and then we're lining up some guest speakers to come in. I want to go back to, though, the elementary stop and pops, if you're okay with that, for me to talk to you about what the counselor said in the elementary classrooms. Are you good with that? Okay, so just to reinforce, so remember we talked about that we wanted an immediate message, and we wanted an immediate message to go out that we had seen some incidences around substances at some of our elementary schools, and due to that, we felt like there was an urgent need to go out and talk to the elementary kids. So on the K, we split it up, K2, 3, 5, and keep in mind when I talk about, or we actually split up pre-K to 2 and 3 to 5. Now when I talk about the topics, keep in mind that like their language, their vocabulary would have sounded different for pre-K than for second grade. Does that make sense? But the general topic. So for pre-K through 2, the first topic that they talked about, they went in, they said, talked about healthy, really it was around healthy bodies and healthy minds. Making good choices, like eating good foods that are good for us. Fruits and vegetables, exercise, getting plenty of sleep every night, taking vitamins and medicine our doctors prescribe for us. Then sometimes having a healthy body and a healthy mind means there are things we don't do, like sharing food. We've got some kids sharing food, and they might not know their mama cooked whatever in peanut oil, and their friend is allergic to nuts. And so we've had some allergic reactions this year from them from sharing food. Besides the sharing food, if it has something in it, it shouldn't. Challenges. Anything that says a challenge, anything that's called a challenge is not good. Not good for you. And really, kind of referencing TikTok, but and believe it or not, the 3K through 2 kids are familiar with TikTok challenges. Mm-hmm. Or I dare you. You know, hey, Dwayne, I dare you. I dare you. Right? No, not good for you. And then do not take anything from someone other than a teacher, nurse, or parent. If someone says, "Let's keep this a secret," or "Don't tell anyone." Is that something that you do? Surprises are fun and secrets can be scary. Surprises you eventually share and everybody knows. Secrets are not shared, which can be hurtful. No secrets are kept from your parents. And so we emphasize that. We gave them tools on how to get out of a situation. We talked about the difference between reporting versus tattling. Because believe it or not, pre-K through 2 teachers have to do a lot of work on tattling on each other. So reporting is to keep you or somebody safe. Tattling is to get somebody in trouble. And so the difference between those and the importance of reporting. And so in one of our incidences that we had at one of our elementary schools, just to be real honest, there were numerous children that were aware of the incident. Not a single one of the children reported it. And it should have been, enough children were involved that it should have been reported, and no children reported it. And so we really felt that was important to emphasize. But then we also had to get out of a situation where no is not a mean word. It's actually a boundary word. It's okay to say no. It's okay for you to say no. It may sound mean, but it's not. Ways to get out, like I'm too smart to take a dare. Might be cool for you, not right for me. Why would I want to do that? It's okay to just walk away. It's okay to just say no. And then the last part is, you know, there could be consequences for your actions. And we said you could get sick. You could get somebody else sick. And you could get in trouble. Like, on these challenges, we actually have had several students try to do the hot chip challenge in our schools. Our high school nurse had to go get a kid out of the bathroom that wouldn't stop vomiting and then started convulsing, and so she had to get him out of the bathroom, that she had to have assistance to get him out. We've had other kids that, like, their tongue has had severe burns from them trying the hot chip challenge. We've had several things happening in regards to the hot chip. So this was, we tried to encompass more than just what we were talking about. So that was pre-K through 2. For 3 through 5, the healthy bodies, healthy minds was still the same. The number 2, though, the things we don't do, they specifically reference TikTok, but did not give examples of challenges because we didn't want to give them ideas, right? So they said, TikTok challenges. You could get in trouble. You can get somebody else. Like, somebody could get sick. You could get sick. Most of the time, it damages property. Somebody's getting sick or it's damaging property. There was that one that went through middle schools in which kids were tearing toilets off the, or urinals off the wall, and it was costing school districts thousands of dollars. So that's what we said. It's sick or hurt. People get sick or hurt. Property gets damaged or destroyed. Participating in the challenges could result in disciplinary consequences. Third through fifth graders can understand that. Do not take anything from someone other than a teacher, nurse, or parent. Prescription on all over-the-counter medicine must be at the nurse. Candy might not really be candy. Don't eat candy that's unwrapped. Medicine could harm your body and not help you. You do not know if it is safe. So we've had an elementary incident where one of the kids took something and her response was, you know, well, principal, I saw her take one and nothing happened to her, so I took one. No, right? A prescription medicine will work for me different than it will work for Casey. And so really trying to explain, like, something that may work for someone may not work for you. We talked to them then about the same thing about that you have no secrets from your parents. There's no secrets from your parents. And so how to get out of a situation. They actually, though, they talked about reporting and tattling, but they used the word snitches. Snitching, no snitching. I don't know if y'all heard it, but the phrase that goes around in upper elementary and middle school is snitches get stitches. You snitch on me, you're going to end up with stitches. And so they reinforced that, you know, that's not how this works. And we've had incidences at the middle school where kids won't give up anything. We know something's going on. They're like, I'm not a snitch. And the counselors have really had to work with those kids to explain, somebody can get hurt. We need you to help us. This terminology has stuck with them. So the counselors felt that it was important to reference that. Again, about no is a boundary word. And it's important for us to set boundaries. Ways to get out, a lot of those same phrases. Consequences for your actions, we were a little stronger on our language from third to fifth grade, with fifth grade being a little bit more blunt. And that if you accept something from someone else, there will be a consequence. If somebody goes to give you something and you take it and it's something you should not be taking at school, there's going to be a consequence. If you bring, take, consume, eat, ingest, that you could end up going to EPIC, that you could be in trouble with the law, and it can make you very sick. And if you don't tell us, the discussion particularly in fifth grade, if you don't tell us what you took or what you think you took, your stomach's going to be pumped at the hospital. Like, we're going to call 911 and your stomach's going to be pumped. And that's not near, you know, it sounds like it's really not near as blunt as could have been, but felt like it was pretty blunt for fifth grade. And so those were the talks that the counselors went in. They did the majority of them last Thursday and Friday. There were only a couple that then had to carry over for yesterday. They got the majority of all the classes. It took me way more time to explain this to you than for a counselor to have that discussion with a class. I can tell you that. And then they allowed for if a student needed to talk or if there were questions. So it was structured. Do you have any questions over that? Yes, ma'am.
What if a kid missed?
If a kid missed, they were going to catch them. And you actually brought up a very good point also. So life skills students were to receive the same, which I think they're finishing a couple of those still this week. We can't say that every fifth grade life skills student will get this because of the cognitive level, the difference in the cognitive level of those life skills students. And so at each elementary school, the counselor was going to work with each life skills student separately on their cognitive level to understand the concepts that they need to understand. And with a life skills student, one of the main concepts is, like, you shouldn't be taking anything from somebody that is not an adult, is not your teacher or your parent or the nurse. You should not be taking anything. And so for life skills, that's where it really was going to be, like I said, it's got to be at their level where they understand, and so they were going to work with each one individually. Thank you for asking your question, because that reminded me then to bring up that. Okay, so that's how that went. For everyone, we're going to kind of mock up an outline of that we can this really is the same process we used for the human sexuality materials. And so, for instance, in this case, we'll have all of these things really fall under the counseling realm, counseling and some nurse, but mainly counseling realm. And so we have all of the district counselors, as well as some additional people that will review various programs and review resources that we have used, and then review what else is out there. And then we expect the group to come forward, and we're going to need to give them some time to work. That's why there was a kind of a break where there's no December SHAC meeting to give the groups some time to then come in January, because they're going to need a good 2 months, because this is stuff that we need to deliver to kids this year. So the board resolution says that the board will approve in February, and we need to do so many open hearings before that. And normally the board will want to do a first reading in January, do a final approval in February. So we've got quite a bit. Based on how the meeting goes on November 8th, we may need to call a SHAC meeting in December, but I'm not going to know until after I get through the counseling meeting on November 8th. And just so we could provide you all an update, but I'll because our meeting in January is January 4th, right away. So that was done intentionally, so if we needed additional time, we have additional time. It might take us just a little bit. It's going to take, so on this also, this goes all the way through. So I know I've referenced elementary, but this goes all the way through. And so the counseling group has been, we've gathered everything that has been shared over this. I'd like to clarify, many of these things we've been required by law to review with students. They've been required trainings, required lessons for students for years. The resolution is new. And so what I have for you today that we're going to look at in our subcommittees to give us a better idea, we focused so much on the human sexuality curriculum last year, we really didn't look at the other parts of the TEKS. And so what I have for us today, when we split into our subgroups, is I have the health standards from kindergarten through grade 8, that where you can see where these things fall. Now I'll tell you, this resolution, it talks about, so look at this. So it says we hold 2 public meetings, and the resolution came from the Texas Association of School Boards based off of the law. So the law says this. The law says, recommend curriculum materials that comply with the instructional content requirements in law. That would be our TEKS. Are suitable for the subject and grade level for which the materials are intended, and are reviewed by academic experts in the subject and grade level for which the materials are intended. Okay, so I have the health TEKS for you to look at in reference to these. I will tell you that, like, for instance, I'll bring up child abuse. There seems to be some misunderstandings with, I've talked to some people from a couple other districts. Their SHACs were under the understanding that, like, child abuse, the SHAC gets to say, you know, well, okay, we want child abuse to start to be covered in third grade. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, child abuse is actually in the health TEKS in kindergarten. They kind of go like this around the topic a little bit, so they don't say child abuse, but they talk about boundaries to their body. And so it really starts in kindergarten. And so that's where it's important for us to focus right here. And based on our discussion last year, you know, we really tried to focus on looking at the TEKS. What do the TEKS require us to teach? And the TEKS are pretty specific in each of these areas. They're pretty specific. We still are required, I did not print anything for high school for you, we still are required to do all of these items in high school, but it actually falls under a different part of the law. And so we'll get to that too. So November 8th is when we are going to bring in some presenters to present some outside materials that we don't already own or have access to. And we're going to maximize the day by, you see how this says right here, child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking? Well, guys, there are like 4 other things that as a SHAC we're also supposed to make recommendations on. Opioid awareness, substance abuse, And so we're going to tackle a whole bunch of it at once. Otherwise, like, we can't wait. I mean, look at substance abuse alone. We cannot wait a whole nother year to then have the Shack tackle and looking at what people recommend for substance abuse. We're dealing with issues now, and we need to see what are we presenting to our kids, what have we talked about with our kids, have we not talked about with our kids, what's been done in the context of PE, what's not been done in the context of PE, and kind of review and see where we want to move forward.
Hey, Yarda, can I ask a quick
yes.
question? Are those entities going to be coming to present at our Shack meeting,
no.
or are they presenting to
they're
teachers
they're
first?
They're presenting to the counselors and the teachers.
The counselors is on the 8th,
yes.
and our meeting is on the 9th.
Our meeting is on the 9th, yes.
Okay.
But thank you for clarifying. But where I was going is, if you would like to see any of the presentations, if you will email me, and I'll send a separate email out. If you would like to email me, then I can give you the schedule once I have it finalized, and you can join for the day to sit in the presentations. So you're more than welcome to sit through. But the counselors and teachers to sit through official presentations, and then they'll start to work on the other parts. And so if you want to come view the presentations, you could come view the presentations, and then you could leave. So if you just send me an email, so I'll send a separate email. So, what time is it? Because I know you've talked quite a bit. 5:16? Weird. It's okay. We can start. So this is our subcommittee selection. So, what we have, Caitlin, raise your hand. We have Ms. Puckett over here and Gina Coe. And Ms. Puckett and Gina Coe are going to, they'll have a poster, which actually is right behind Gina. The one closer to the flag. They have a poster that kind of outlines these child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. And I do have all of these teaks pulled onto a separate document that if you're joining that group, then I'm going to send you that separate document too for you to review after the meeting. So this is just to get you a start on looking at. Wayne has this one, risky behaviors, suicide risk, behavioral health concerns, and mental health education. So if that was your first choice, if you go with Dwayne Zila. So Zila has opioid addiction and abuse, substance abuse prevention, substance use disorders. There's a whole strand on alcohol drug prevention. So Zila, I have your poster. I think I snagged a poster behind you. I think it's the one on the wall, but I'll have to see. And we'll have Zila there. For right now, we'll leave this one. Most people put this as their second choice. There's only one or two people that put it as the first choice. So we're going to leave this one for now. So if you'll join one of these three groups, and then we can start to kind of look at the teaks, but know that once you join that group, take your name tag with you. Give your name tag to the leader, so then I know who's there, so then I can email you the document so you can explore it more on your own. Because I only pulled out that section, otherwise you're reading a 35-page document. Again, Caitlin and Gina are child abuse, family violence, dating violence, sex trafficking. Dwayne is the green box, and Zila is the orange box. Right here. And you can move wherever you wish to move. You can write on the poster. You can put post-its on the poster for questions that you have. It's really for you to see what is there. Thank you for your exploration with your subcommittees. I know we're a couple minutes late. I'll send each subcommittee, give me a couple days, I'll send you basically what's on the poster I'll cut out. I'll send you by email in a document. You all had some wonderful questions around how the law is contradictory, and I'll get some clarification on some of it. Like, the teaks are all required, but parents have to give permission to teach what's in the teaks. You all had some great questions from the different groups, and I'll debrief with each facilitator. And then, again, I will send an email out to you where if you wish to join on November 7th. And remember, in many of these things right here, we adopted materials already that we have been using. And so we'll look at what else is out there, and then we'll also more heavily scrutinize what we've already been using, too. So I think that's the conclusion of what I have for this evening, and I think what we all have.
Any other questions? All right, we'll adjourn at 5:36.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Stop the